If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast. I'm Tony Andracki here with Kelly Kroll, and as always, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. Kelly, we sit here in the Cubs third base dugout before the rains hit here, and then hit Atlanta, then in Cincinnati later this week. The Cubs are about to embark on that two-city road trip coming up, but they're coming off a 5-2 homestand. They dropped the final two, could have been a 7-0 homestand. That being said, what are your main takeaways from this one game against Atlanta, White Sox, and Marlins here?
Well, first of all, just to get this out of the way, I cannot believe we are still talking about the weather in mid-May, and it has not been good. It has yet to be good. The first, like, five games of this homestand were not baseball-playing weather still. They just weren't. Wind blowing in, it was 40, 50 degrees, and so I'm just going to get that out of the way. That has nothing to do with how they performed, honestly. It really didn't, but just to say that these guys haven't really caught a break when it comes to Mother Nature yet so far this season. So I know I'm looking forward to some really good weather here, hopefully in June, but 5-2, I think it should have been, like you said, 7-0. They had every opportunity to sweep the White Sox. They squandered a number of chances in that game early on. And then against Atlanta, I mean, it was this whole seesaw back and forth until really Jose Quintana gave up that three-run blast in what, I'm not sure what inning it was,
the fifth inning
or so. And really, I mean, the story of that game was, I mean, Quintana really struggled with his command. He spoke after the game in what I thought this season was one of his most emphatic post-game press conferences in a way, in that he was very frustrated. He looks, in a way to me, I hate to say this, but he looks and or sounds a little defeated right now. He doesn't sound like he has even like where he wants to go in terms of trying to change things. It's like he knows what he's supposed to be doing, getting ahead in the counts, not walking guys, and yet the results just have not been there for him. So you get this sense of a little bit of confusion right now. And then, and as Madden said, I think trying to pick him up a little bit, the defense didn't help him a little bit. This aggressive base running that we've seen from the Cubs is really exciting at times, but it can be equally frustrating when you're watching guys get caught in rundowns or picked off at second. And we didn't get to talk to Anthony Rizzo following the game, but I'm sure he's not real thrilled about that happening after he won the challenge right before it. So I think my overall takeaway is that 5-2 is great. Sure, it's good, and that's what, as Joe Maddon will say, you'll take it. But they also could have been 7-0, and I think they may look back at this at some point, a couple of those games, and be like, yeah, we could have had those.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Quintana point you made, he does. He looks lost right now, and part of the problem today, he did walk three guys in the first inning, and he said he needs to get ahead of hitters. So Ben Zobrist said that Quintana's at his best when he's getting ahead of hitters. Joe Maddon said the same thing, but he actually got ahead of 20 of 28 hitters he faced today. So it's not like he was falling behind everyone. Like he was in past starts. The actual problem today after that first inning was he was getting hammered. When he threw the first ball in the zone, I mean, Ozzie Albies he fell behind 1-0 in that first count, the first at-bat of the game, but then he hits a ball to the outfield. Albies later had a double and I think another hit off of first pitch. The Braves did that all game. They jumped all over Quintana's first pitch fastball. So his location has gotten a little bit better, but he's also serving up these like meatballs that they're hitting. He gave up 11 different exit velocities of 95-plus mile an hour in this start. And eight of those 11 were 101.9 miles an hour or higher. So basically 102 plus. So he just got hit really, really hard. So he has made an adjustment. Now everybody else has clearly made an adjustment back to him. Mm-hmm. Now he has to figure out how to get first pitch strikes when he knows where his fastball is going. If he's painting the black, if he's getting his curveball over, anything beyond his fastball. But if he just keeps grooving fastballs in there, these guys are going to take advantage, especially when he's only throwing 90, 91 miles an hour right now.
Yeah, you could tell that that was a concerted effort and game plan by the Braves, and that is what they were, you know, doing really from the offset. But it was that third time around that it was just super noticeable. And that's when it was Tyler Flowers, right, his old battery mate that made the difference.
Count.
And I think he was asked about that, you know, does Flowers have something to, like, one up on you in the scouting report? But, I mean, he said, yeah, maybe. I mean, but that's the name of the game. How many guys have switched teams and their old battery mates they're facing? So, I mean, that's not something that he needs to be concerned with.
If that was the case for catchers, too, then we'd have to see a lot better offensive numbers from catchers moving forward. So.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But, I mean, Tony, for you then, because I know on my Twitter account I was getting a ton of blowback on Quintana after this outing. Big picture, what kind of – who is Jose Quintana? Is he the guy that walked into Milwaukee last year when it was all on the line and pitched an incredible game? Or is he the guy that struggled out here against Atlanta and for most of the season in 2018 has not been at his sharpest?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer to that is he's both guys because it is what it is. You know, it's that saying that a lot of baseball players, a lot of Cubs players use. I mean, Anthony Rizzo kind of says it all the time with his baseball comments. You know, that is who Quintana is, but we will see him even out at some point, and it'll probably be some point soon. It may even be before June begins, but it'll definitely be before the All-Star break. I can imagine he'll string together a couple good starts in a row, and he really had. He had walked seven guys in his last three starts, but he only gave up one earned run in that time. The defense behind him, as you already mentioned, has not been very good the last few times out, and that's forced him to throw a lot more pitches with guys on base that he really shouldn't have before. So it's really difficult to do that with guys like him, with guys like Yu Darvish, who are kind of fragile right now. And I don't mean that fragile in a way that's knocking their mental state or character. It's just they're fragile because their mechanics are a little out of whack. It's only taking tiny things for both of these guys to get off of their game. This isn't happening when errors occur behind John Lester or Kyle Hendricks right now, or even Tyler Chatwood. Chatwood's pitched around a lot of jams as well, but Quintana and Darvish are struggling pitching around those jams for the most part, and the Cubs defense has to be significantly better than they have been to date. They make some fantastic plays, and then they make some plays where you're just
bone-headed.
Wondering, like, are you guys even awake
right
now? And that's what we'll have to change moving forward because Quintana, he has the potential to strike out guys, but for the most part, he's going to give up a lot of fly balls. He's going to give up a lot of weak contact, and the guys behind him have to make those plays.
You bring up a really good point. I think that's one of the number one things that has to be driving Joe Maddon crazy right now is the defense, and these guys know they have to be sharper. They know that, and they are better than what they are showing because we've seen it before. This isn't like guys that we haven't yet see hit the top of their ceiling in the field. We've seen this. We've seen them at their best. And right now, it's not that. And so I think if they were honest with themselves and honest with us in the locker room, they would tell us that. But the other, I think, underlying problem with maybe the defense not being there, and then you're seeing the starters have to throw more pitches, and then the starters are out of the game early, it means we are seeing a lot of work on the Cubs bullpen.
Exactly.
And that, I don't think, is a great recipe.
No,
moving forward.
Steve Cishek, he appeared in this last game against the Braves, and he was talking in the Cubs clubhouse, just kind of like joking that I'll pitch until my arm falls off. Like he was saying, he feels great. But, I mean, he may have to pitch until his arm falls off because he's on pace for 85-plus appearances this year, and that would be the highest number of appearances from basically every pitcher that's not those left-handed one-out guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're pitchers like Cishek who are pitching for the most part against multiple batters each time. They just don't normally throw 85-plus times a season. I mean, he's pitching more than once every two games right now. And the reason for that is exactly what you said, the not giving teams extra outs, the inability to put guys away from the starting pitchers, and last deep. I mean, Kyle Hendricks and John Lester they're the 1-2 guys in this rotation, and they're not going out throwing quality starts every time out. I mean, especially Lester, he obviously would like to stay in games longer, but he's not going 6 or 7 every time out. So this is going to be an issue, and, you know, as good as Justin Wilson has been as well, as good as CJ or Cishek or Pedro Strop looks fantastic
he
right
sure
now.
He sure does.
But this is exactly what happened last year. The Cubs ran into a wall with their bullpen. They were fantastic the whole first half. ran into a wall. Then they were all tired. They were all exhausted. All their arms felt it. And they got hammered in August and September. And then they were even worse in October. Mm-hmm. And if that happens again, the Cubs are going to be bounced before the World Series this year.
Yeah, I think it's something that's certainly on the mind of Joe Maddon, and he is being asked about it. He's certainly aware of it. I thought it was interesting to hear Cishek. Let's keep in mind, just to clarify, Tony and I are very well aware, it's not always about the appearances. It is about the number of pitches, which Cishek brought up, that he feels like he's still in a green area, like not in other words, a red area of being of throwing too many pitches this early in the season. However, you're still warming up, and you still are getting out there, like you said, with these appearances. So I definitely think that it's something that we've got to see if the Cubs want to be where they want to be in October. They have got to correct this, and they need to do it pretty quickly. I know we keep saying it's only mid-May, but before you know it, then it's June, and then you're hitting the All-Star break, and you've used them for half the season. That's just how this works. It seems like we're still early, but yet we're nearing the quarter point in a way, and I think moving the storyline forward, Tony, we're going to see Yu Darvish make his first start since coming off the DL, one that many have sort of in the back of their mind questioned a little bit. He was said to have had parainfluenza flu, which is a fancy way of saying a cold that most of us wouldn't miss work for. But we also know how the Cubs like to sometimes, you know, shield them in a way. We've seen them do this with pitchers before. And he's going to start on the road where he doesn't, like you phrased it before, have to hear the cheers or the boos necessarily from his home fans. So what do you need to see from Yu Darvish and all the eyeballs that will certainly be watching him to know that the Cubs made the right decision this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, in this one start in specific, it goes back to the point we were talking about. I think he needs to go out and throw six innings in his start. You know, he hasn't pitched in almost 2 weeks now, and given the bullpen is the way it is, that we just broke it all down with almost every guy. But the Cubs also, they're in a stretch of 11 games in 10 days, weather permitting. Now, it is supposed to rain in Atlanta. It is supposed to rain in Cincy, so we'll see if these games all get in. But if they do, Darvish has to go out there and at least keep the Cubs in the game for six innings, because they need that. They can't just keep throwing these guys 2, 3, 4 days in a row. And that's been the biggest issue with Darvish is, you know, it's not like every outing he's getting hammered. It's not like every outing he's walking five guys like Tyler Chatwood is right now. It's a matter of getting out there, getting outs, and then saving the bullpen and keeping the team in the game. You can't just give, you know, I think it was against the Rockies that he served up a few homers, and just like that, the game was out of hand. And even though the wind was blowing out, it seemed like the Cubs were never going to come back in that game. So that's what has to happen, and it's just step one. If it doesn't happen in this outing in Atlanta, sure, it's not the end of the world. But, I mean, you do bring up a good point. Like, he has to start showing why the Cubs brought him here. But it has to happen for him, for Quintana, for Chatwood. These last three guys, especially in the rotation, need to do this. Otherwise, this underlying problem, this kind of problem that's hiding beneath the surface, is going to become to the forefront, and it's going to be the main reason why the Cubs don't win a championship for the second time in 3 years.
Well, as we wrap this up, I think we should do our best to leave fans with a positive.
Okay.
Aside from 5-2 on this homestand, there was also the emergence of Wilson Contreras at the plate, and I think we have to bring that to the forefront, to follow your words right there, in that we saw what happens when it's KB, it's Riz, and it's Contreras, what this lineup is capable of doing with him getting hot at the plate. And it's crazy good when those guys have all found it together, and they're that's a tough heart of the lineup to get through right there.
Yeah, and really the offense has been awesome this whole homestand. I mean, even the two games they lost, they were getting on base a ton. They walked a bunch against Lucas Giolito and that White Sox pitching staff, and they had a good offensive day with the wind blowing out against Atlanta. Almora hit a homer. KB lined out hard to left with the go-ahead winning run on second base in the ninth. They put together some really good at-bats. So after that St. Louis series, after that stretch of 2 weeks where they were struggling to even get to three runs a game, you know, now they're suddenly looking like the team that we all thought they were. So you're right. It's almost become like a secondary facet of this team right now, because we all expected this.
Yeah.
Now they're doing what we expect. Wilson's doing what we expect. Addison Russell is doing what we expect. Javi Baez is still probably coming in a little bit higher. Nobody really assume that he would lead the National League in RBI all year, but then again, he might. He has that potential. So, yeah, the offense has been really good, and, you know, they're about to go into Atlanta's. They can obviously score on Atlanta's pitching staff.
Then
Cincinnati after that in all Cincinnati. Winnable. Oh, yeah, that four-game series should be another good one for the offense.
Yeah, so the offense, there's your positive. But as Joe and many of us have heard a number of times, it is pitching and defense that wins championships. So that is certainly what the Cubs will be focused on as they hit the road here for the next few. And for Tony Andracki, I'm Kelly Kroll. I should let you close it out because you opened it up. So say goodbye to everyone.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Till next time.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.